Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, open 7 days a week. And now, El Paso history with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, my headphone sets here like fuzzy. There
welcome
we go.
Okay. To the El Paso History Radio Show.
It's
our
today?
Normal show here. It's July the 4th. Happy
Yay!
July 4th. And we're the guys who say Texas history begins in El Paso, and you know why.
That's because.
It does.
It does.
So life goes on. Another radio show here about history on KTSM AM 690. Oh, the air conditioning came on.
Oh, God. It's a monsoon.
We're going to survive now. But anyway, where else can they find us?
They can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link where they can listen to us live all over the planet.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And also, we got stuff going on here. Trivia. We're not going to do trivia. We will ask questions from the audience. And if you call up with the best question for Bernie, he's a guest today. Hi, Bernie.
Hello.
Put Bernie on. Anyway, when Bernie shows up, we'll have him on. And when you call up and ask a Bernie question, if it's relevant, you'll get a prize.
That's right. And we have another way, too. You've got it's a Mission Del Rey Weekly $20 show giveaway. And for the first five listeners each week who go online to shop at missiondelrey.com, you'll get a coupon for $20 off on their for your online order. Now, how do you do that? You do that by simply typing in the word history in the coupon code during checkout. And, you know, this is going to make your minimum purchase of $20 go to $40 now. So you get $20 worth of merchandise, add 20 more. But if you're one of the five lucky listeners who remembers that history password, you can double your purchase. So go out to missiondelrey.com.
Well, I got some stuff to tell you. I went out there on Thursday. Interesting place, what they've expanded. I'll give you more details. But also, you have a history moment today, if the machines work?
If the machines work, yes, I do have a history moment. It's about the history of how 4th of July became a national holiday, and it wasn't as easy as you might have thought.
It might have been July 2nd or something, or maybe July not at all.
The politics of it all.
Anyway, today we should recommend you go to Pepe's, right?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm playing with my headphone. I'm not going to Pepe's today. Bernie might be going, and I know you're going to go, right?
I plan to be there.
Yeah, because they're shutting down for 2 weeks on vacation.
And they're actually being on vacation starting Monday for 2 weeks. Now, we have sad news on our other sponsor. Amigos is gone.
Yeah.
And they're not just gone from here. They're gone, shut the doors.
Out of business, yeah.
So I wish Hookie well down there. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If I hit the lottery, Hookie, I'm going to help you out.
Yeah, you hate to see any small business close, especially in normal circumstances, but now it's even worse. It's just craziness.
And we'll give you the phone number for Pepe's here in a little bit. Also, just to let you know, the man who is here is Bernie Sargent. Hey, Bernie.
Yes, I think the radio is working now.
Is that microphone up and running?
Nope.
There he is.
There
I knew,
are.
I knew you were
myself.
There.
You're going to let him talk, okay.
No, he's there. He's going to have to talk. But Bernie's here as a regular basis. We've got Bernie doing A to Z history, which means Anthony to Zaragoza.
Yes.
And that pretty much covers the county.
That's a good
doing it that way, but that's, I just made that up.
Or Ange to Zaragoza.
Who?
Ange? A-N-G-E.
Where's that?
One of the first early settlers of El Paso from European descent.
But see, Anthony to Zaragoza covers the county.
Kinda. Okay.
One end, kinda. Okay. Anyway. But so you're here, and you are the marshal of our 4th of July Parade of History. You were going to be the marshal of the other parade, and they canceled that.
Oh, yeah.
So give us a wave.
Yes, you can give. Yeah, this is like wrist, elbow.
Yes,
check the
there you go.
But normally you would have been out on some wagon or something today. And
convertible car.
Convertible.
Dunking water, I'm sure. So.
Oh, God. It would have been a good day to get dunked in water. But the idea today, you and I talked about this. We sort of cooked this up. There's all kinds of lawmen that we know about that were on the border. We've got a whole list of them here. Pat Garrett, George Scarborough, Jeff Milton. Fusselman, Gillette, Escontrias, Ross Outlaw, McKittrick. And the big deal today is you're looking at, well, they're kinfolk. A lot of these people had kinfolk that went on to make their own little news
Of sorts,
niche.
Some good, some not so good.
Yeah, well, tell us about some of these.
Yeah, well, first of all, if I could, I know that a lot of the listeners, the viewers, the listeners,
and viewers
watched our little short videos that we did during the month of June.
Oh, my God. We have normally the second thing we do is talk about that. But go ahead and talk about it now, if you like.
I just wanted to mention, because oftentimes the unsung heroine of this event and all of this effort was Wendy Whitefolk. And we need to thank her for her editing prowess.
Wendy has a history of broadcast journalism. She has a history of print journalism in El Paso. We moved here, print journalism was about all that would make sense to her. The broadcast journalism was kind of like not really what we were expecting. Well, it was what I was expecting. She was in a major market, Washington, D.C., as a major writer and executive producer of WRC-TV. So she had a history of real-time, big-time rock and roll every day, writing and cranking out news. She ended up being the graphics queen over at WRCT, and graphics were huge. I mean, they had a huge graphic department. Their local station back 25 years ago, the news department had a budget of $16 million a year, and they made that money back in the ads. So, I mean, that's where she came from. Coming to El Paso, okay, yeah, so she did what she did. But the point is, she knows how to write. And so when I would go cook up these scripts and you and I would look at them and say, what do you think? And we'd give them to Wendy. They'd come out so they made sense. So you made sense and I made sense and we all look good. You're right. Thank you to her. And Andrew in there, Andrew J. Polk in there, he also shot a bunch of these this year.
Yeah, again, not only Wendy, but you and Andrew.
The work family.
It was a family affair.
A family affair. We have adopted you as a cousin. So.
A cousin wife.
Yeah. Don't go there.
No, that's sister wife.
Oh, I'm never going to go there again. Anyway.
One of many.
Back to your reality for today. We'll get more on that because those pieces are online now. But the idea of the lawmen.
Yeah.
And Pat Garrett is one of them. You want to start with him?
We can talk about Pat. Most everybody has heard stories, you know, many, many, many stories about Pat Garrett and his background. The guy was very active. He had a track record where people knew Pat Garrett's name everywhere he went. And this was before the Billy the Kid episode.
Oh, really?
But once that happened, he became sort of a folk hero.
Nationally?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Around the world. Because, I mean, some of the stories about Billy the Kid and Pat Garrett were reported in European news. You know, it was everywhere.
Well, Billy the Kid sounded kind of cute and funny, and he also got a book written about him.
Yeah.
A dime store novel. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember Leon sitting here saying. And that's how Billy the Kid became famous. I forget the guy's name who wrote the dime store novel, but that's what really propelled that name around the world, isn't it?
There were so many dime store novels that made heroes and made locations very famous, like Tombstone.
Oh,
if it wasn't for a dime store novel written about Wyatt Earp, Tombstone would probably just be a memory right now, much like our Old West history here.
Oh, yeah.
In some cases.
Well, El Paso, if you want to put it in terms of good gunfighting, El Paso had better history on that subject than anywhere else in the Old West.
We had 30 years. They 30 had 30 seconds.
Exactly. 30 years versus 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference. They got the movie.
Oh, when you have Earp come to town and they offer him a job as city sheriff or city marshal, he turns it down because it's just too dangerous.
He got back
that's
on the,
after Tombstone.
Oh, my.
After the gunfight at the OK Corral.
And he got back on the train and left for Arizona.
Yeah. Then he went gold mining. He was up in Alaska. And, you know, great story there, too. But, yeah, I was fascinated by Garrett and the opportunity that was given to me a few months ago to play the doctor that inspected some of the evidence at the murder scene of Pat Garrett.
Oh, the thing up in Las Cruces.
In Las Cruces, yes. They invited me to participate, and it was a blessing, really. I had a lot of fun.
A leap day.
Met a lot of great people. Now, just before this coronavirus thing took off, so we had a great audience out there, and I learned a lot about Garrett and everything that was involved with that particular event that took place. In fact, one of the people I'm going to talk about a little bit later is a guy named Bob Ross.
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross. Bob Ross had a shotgun, and the shotgun was kind of a, it would break down and would fit in a holster.
Oh.
And he would carry it with him. It would actually have, you could put your cartridges, your 12-gauge cartridges in it, and you'd cock it and fire, cock it and fire, cock and fire. You didn't have to keep putting shells in.
Oh.
But it came in a little, almost like a holster, rectangular shaped, and Pat Garrett ended up with, or he ended up with Pat Garrett's shotgun, which was the breakaway shotgun.
Oh.
Very, very interesting. But I'll talk about Bob a little bit. But Garrett had that, and they found it lying next to him when they found his body.
Oh.
And it had not been fired. In fact, it was still in the holster. Hadn't been taken out.
So he was killed on a trail coming into Las Cruces or going out of Las Cruces?
Well, the story is he was going into Las Cruces to sign some paperwork to transfer title on land.
Well, there's several other people, and one of them killed him.
One of them killed him, yes. He stopped to do something you do when your kidneys start acting up and your bladder won't hold it.
He'd been drinking beer all morning.
I don't know if he was drinking beer, maybe a lot of coffee.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, he stopped to relieve himself, and he was shot. He was eliminated, so to speak. And
go ahead, make a joke out of that. No, don't. This is live radio. Hey, Andrew, can you hit the button if you have to? Okay, good. Andrew's ready to play a clip in here. So why don't we intro that?
You want to do that? Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And basically, we want to talk about the lawmen and their family.
Kinfolk.
So we'll get back to Pat in a minute. But
we'll talk about his third child, Elizabeth.
Third? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he had eight.
Oh, my.
He was busy.
So now, Melissa.
He wasn't always enforcing the law.
No, don't go there.
He had time.
But, yeah. Melissa, you know the story about this one. This is the Woman's Club.
Yes, yes. This is the song about El Paso, and it was written by Elizabeth Garrett for the Woman's Club. She was commissioned to write that.
El Paso, in your name there's sweetest music to me. El Paso, like a jewel rare you shine so brilliantly. El Paso, let the echoes ring the whole desert through. Within your open portals there's a welcome for me and for you.
Now, that was performed by Patty Tiscarino, yeah, but it was commissioned by the Woman's Club of El Paso.
Yes, initially, yes, it was.
And they, Tim Thompson on the instruments.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, and it's real interesting because the song, if you listen to it, sounds very much like Oh, New Mexico.
But she also wrote.
She wrote the state song of New Mexico. But it was that time period when it was written. It was pretty much, my grandmother was in show business at that time, and so a lot of that kind of played in like stuff my grandmother used to play as a kid. So I really kind of say it's kind of slow when you hear the real song.
Well, but
Patty fixed it up. Tim and Patty did a good job.
Rick Kern helped arrange that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the thing was that the opening to it, the clip I found in my computer, that was it.
Yeah.
That's what we used on the radio, on the documentary for the Woman's Club. But it leads in, Bernie, you've heard it, right?
Oh, yeah.
It leads in for like 35, 40 seconds with some kind of like morbid, melancholy thing.
Was it dirge?
Dirge going on.
Yeah, I know. It's
so
really tough.
This was the good part. But yeah, we thank the Women's Club.
And they sped it up.
Oh, yeah,
can you
yeah
imagine? The live music was insane.
And Patty made it sound pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, by the way, Patty also did her own El Paso song. I've got a copy of that. I found that on my computer.
She did a good job
for this one. But the point was, Bernie, this was a Garrett child. And this lady was blind, was she not?
Oh, my God.
She went blind not long after her birth. She was born in Alto, New Mexico, by Rio Doso.
Oh.
And the blindness affected her right away. And the family sent her off to Austin to the blind school down there, where she was in the top three of the class. Just a brilliant, brilliant student. And wrote music. In fact, she found herself writing music for the first time when she was sitting on a tree swing in their yard in New Mexico, in Alto. And she was listening to the bees and all the birds and everything. And so she wrote a song about the apple blossoms. That was the first song she wrote.
Oh.
And so they sent her down there, and she studied down there for a number of years. Now, the song you just heard, she wrote in 1915. It was actually adopted in 1917 by the legislature in New Mexico as the New Mexico state song. And they paid her a stipend for writing that for the rest of her life. She received a check from the state of New Mexico.
But the Woman's Club paid her to do it.
Well, that one, no, this was the one.
Oh, you mean the other?
Yeah,
I'm
that
talking
was
about the
Mexico,
state song from New
yeah
Mexico.
Other one, yeah.
The one that sounds just like that.
Yeah, but the woman, okay, the Woman's Club did commission her to do that song, so they paid her to do that here, too. I don't know how much, but she used to come down and speak all the time to the Woman's Club and play her music and such. And
through your open portals.
Yes.
Yeah. She traveled all over the country. She was very, very well known.
Around the world, actually.
Her father's name was kind of an entree.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But once they found out that she was a very good piano player and she could sing really well, she was invited all over.
Did she know?
She even sang at Sing Sing Prison. Oh,
yeah. Sing Sing.
Yeah.
Did she know Helen Keller?
I would imagine so.
No, she did.
Were they contemporaries?
Yeah. They were very good friends, as a matter of
that's
fact.
Right.
And
they
there were a lot of
exchange communications.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, so that's a Pat Garrett daughter. Now, does his other kids go on and do stuff, or is that kind of who we
not
know?
Not as famous
no
as he was. No, they were sort of in the background. She was the most famous of the Garrett kids. I did get to meet one of the great-great-great-grandsons when I was up in New Mexico.
How great is that?
Yeah, it was pretty. great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was.
But also, Pat worked in El Paso for a while. He was a commissioner? What? No, a council? What was that?
No, well, he was appointed by Teddy Roosevelt.
To be?
He was a collector.
Collector. I knew that had a C word.
Yeah.
Collector of customs?
Yeah. But unfortunately, some of the his goings-on with a couple of saloon owners didn't weigh favorably in Teddy's eyes, so he got fired.
Wasn't he one of the first people to buy a car?
He in El Paso?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the first.
Oh, Garrett.
Not the first, but one of the first. So, real proud of it, too. And, you know,
and a convertible because he was so tall.
Yeah, he was pretty
and
tall.
And there's no way to, there's no I-10 to get home, so good luck to that, Pat.
No, those roads back then were pretty interesting.
Oh, but they, but the Camino Real was there.
Yeah.
He could bump his way home, I suppose.
Yeah, run into a Coretta or two.
Oh,
stop at the Paraje. The, now, the sad thing about Elizabeth Garrett, she actually had a seeing eye dog named Teen, I think was his name. And they were walking home one night from an evening performance in New Mexico where she was living. And she stepped off of a curb and hit her head and got a severe concussion. And that ultimately took her life.
Bummer.
Yeah.
That's Pat Garrett's daughter we're talking about, Elizabeth, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, taking a break here. Bernie Sardin is the man talking history here. We've got a whole list of, shall we say, border lawmen. Is that the common denominator here?
I would say.
Who was S. Contreras? That's somebody out at the ranch?
He was a relative, yes.
Okay. So we've got all kinds of people to talk about here, but we've got 2 hours. Bernie's here.
Yes.
Yeah. Melissa,
it's
you're
It's a six-hour show with all the stuff he's been doing this
oh,
week
no,
with
we got
research.
To,
it's
we'll
incredible.
We'll be here till 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was fun. I found stuff that you know,
oh.
She's going to do a history moment. I won't tell you what the story is, but it's a great story that
well,
I found.
No, that was the, I'm doing that another time.
I know, not today.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you do have a history moment. We'll get to
yes,
that top of the second hour. And Andrew J. Polk, thank you for being who you are in here, punching the buttons and making things work. And in the meantime, I guess we could take a phone call or two if somebody wanted to ask Bernie a question.
I wish they would. They can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession, and he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco Tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
It's the Summer Sizzle 4th of July sale now from Souder Furniture. Get 20% off selected items and don't miss these great deals on furniture for the home office, living room, bedroom, and more. All clearance, take an additional 20% off. And these savings go on now through July 12th at Souder.com. Do it yourself, American Furniture. Include any promo item and get 20% off your entire order. Limit one code per order. Free shipping available. Souder.com, Souder.com.
The Kiwanis Clubs of El Paso have created a citywide project designed to display the American flag in front of thousands of homes and businesses during national holidays. Join this campaign to bring national and international attention to our city's love of country and proclaim El Paso America's most patriotic city. For further information, call 915-833-2269.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You know what? We're here on the air and everything's fine.
That's right.
So goes it. But we got to talk about this thing we just finished in the month of June, and that was on ABC 7. And I want to thank ABC 7, Kevin Lovell, general manager, Brenda Deanna Swans, who is the news director, and Eric the promotion guy, Eric Hughesby.
Ah.
And they did great promos. But those people, in that order, gave us permission and helped us get those things on the air. And what we're talking about are pieces that were on ABC 7 News with Bernie Sargent as the reporter. And have you gotten some reactions on some of that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do, quite often. Whenever I'm out, I'm not wearing a mask.
Yeah, well, you're not.
Well, but the hat, they can recognize the hat.
The hat,
generally
usually.
Speaking. But that was a labor of love, frankly, because those things took forever, and they're a lot of work. People look at, oh, that's only a minute and a half. Well, if you go look at what went into those, we had drone shots, we had all kinds of stuff. And anyway, I thought it worked out pretty well to put those on ABC 7. We did 20 of them total, and they're now all online on YouTube, and that's the History Channel.
And everybody asks, when's the next one?
Well, we may do it again, and we may rerun this series.
Yeah, it's amazing having people. We love it. They'd love to see it on a regular basis. So,
well, it's just a whole lot of work.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
It's not like the radio show where
I'd
be like
a gazillion dollars, maybe.
Well, I could hire people. But the thing is, the radio show takes me about a day and a half to come in here and do this. Because I'm cooking up the next one, making a script for this one, and then finding sound where I can these days. We had Walter Cronkite in here a couple of weekends ago. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Oh, God, that was
a good program.
That was right.
That was fun to find that.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing. I'm looking for sound for the show. But the thing is, these pieces that were on ABC 7, they were in the 5 p.m. and the 10 p.m. newscast. They were a three-minute piece, give or take. Mm-hmm. And they said, cut them in half. Oh, really? And put one at 5 and then one at 10. So we did that. And that's why if you didn't see the one at 10, you missed half the show. Oh, I know. I already saw it at 5. No, you didn't. But anyway, so those are now online, put back together as a full piece.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's on YouTube at / El Paso History TV. And it was kind of fun. The last one we did on the Camino Real, we're going to feature the Juarez Mission, which is really one of the major missions in the valley.
That was great drone footage.
Oh, we got a guy in Juarez who worked at a TV station. He says, I can help you out here. So, wire transfer for funding, wire transfer for files, away we went. And I never met the guy, but it was great stuff. So,
yeah.
Anyway, El Paso History TV is the channel on YouTube. And a recent subscriber we had this morning, Pepe Castañón, is subscribed to the channel.
Pepe?
Pepe, he's not on the script there. Also this week we had Darth McRam.
That Darth Vader.
No idea where that's coming from.
Well, people, I'm sure he gets that all the time.
Being to the dark side.
But yes. Is that the guy's real name? I have no idea.
You don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, so nice of you guys to do that. Thank you for joining us on that channel. It's kind of fun. And you got somebody to talk about over there?
Yes, I do. I forgot. Yeah, I got so wrapped up in what you were saying. Okay. The annual 4th of July Alamogordo Fireworks Extravaganza is all set to launch tonight at 9 p.m. And this is going to be put on by the New Mexico Museum of Space History. I got that one right off the end.
You looked
web.
It up.
Okay. I cut and paste from the website. Unfortunately, due to COVID, there will be no tailgating on the grounds of the New Mexico Museum of Space History. But the good news is the fireworks show is available to be seen all over the basin, and they're encouraging people to go out and enjoy it in their yards, cars, or other favorite viewing locations. And music for the fireworks program will be carried live on KZZX Radio 105.3 FM. The special show, they'll have a special show which will feature a musical tribute to the military and first responders. And just in case the weather gets bad, like sometimes can do, the fireworks display will happen same time on Sunday, July 5th.
And indeed, if we get up there, or if they shoot the big ones, we can see them from El Paso.
Yeah.
They used to do that with the V2s. No, that's another story. Ah, life goes on. Yeah. Bernie Sargent is here.
Well, if you were in the Canyon 2 area the other night, you would have watched that.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
That made the network news, you know. I saw
did it make the network?
ABC put that on. They toasted a fireworks stand.
I saw it, yeah.
They fire one a little too close to the front door of the stand. Like,
oops.
Oh, look, you're here.
Have another cigarette.
Can you imagine the insurance they'd have to pay to get insurance on
that? Oh, yeah. They're killer, yeah.
And
if they didn't
have insurance, that was probably, you know, 20 grand worth of stuff that went up.
Yeah.
And it was really, it was weird. You can buy them up until like yesterday, but you can't shoot them at all in El Paso. I wonder how many people they busted bringing them back into El Paso.
I've been hearing them, a week and a half now? Middle of the night, boom.
Oh, yeah, no, they've been going off.
Yeah, I know.
People have them, and it's just like, you know, you can't do that without getting too much trouble.
Everybody's getting mad at each other for it. It's like, ugh.
Well, it's it's not like New York where they're throwing them at the policeman.
Yeah, oh, exactly. You like that firework chasing each other?
I wouldn't think there's a future in that.
No.
Kids used to do that, though. They'd chase each other with those stupid Roman
candles. Oh,
my God, the pickle pizza, the Roman candles, you know.
And that's one where
set each other on fire.
You really could put your eye out. One of Not just the BB gun.
We used to put firecrackers in the bottom of our Piccolo Pete's.
Piccolo Pete's, what's that?
Oh, they were just California. We were very safe. It was just scream. It was like it would go for a long,
what's
forever
a
and ever.
Pete?
It was a little standing fire type thing that you'd light up, and it would just scream the whole time with flames and such. And when we'd do a stick firecrackers, everybody's like, oh, it's screaming, and then boom. And we're like, what the heck happened?
Well, I can imagine Bernie and I could trade some stories that would blow your fingers off. But hey,
we don't want to go there.
I already did that. I'm done with that. Anyway.
You're proof of the pudding.
I did it. But the point is, the history of El Paso is interesting. We're going to talk more. Andrew, we should probably take another break here and do that, shouldn't we? Because he's dear old Andrew, the legacy child in there, is taking care of the
legacy child.
Yeah, well, you know, he's
the one and only.
Oh, I'm part of the legacy. My father was a dude here, so you know, we can all claim that. Yeah. Enough of that. So, but taking a break here, and we will take a phone call for Bernie Sargent sitting here. And,
yes.
And the phone calls I'm looking for, if you don't have a question, that's great. But for the best question that we get asked, I'll give you a $20 certificate.
Ooh, there you go.
To Pepe's, and we gave one last week away to Mr. Garcia over on Fort Boulevard, and it was really cool.
What? Oh. You can also check out on Facebook. We've got 8,403 people is the advertisement. The promotion. 8,000 people.
403. That's a pretty good number for a week like this.
For him, yeah.
For me, it's
Bernie. It's Bernie.
And 448 people want to get engaged with you. So it says right there, engagements.
Okay. Enough. I'm backing out of this conversation.
Oh, my.
Only if they're rich.
Throw the phone number out there for the heck of it.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
An iHeartRadio original podcast. October 16th, 1972, two congressmen board a small plane in Alaska and disappear. Despite a massive search, they're never found. The case goes cold until a young reporter named John Walczak starts digging. What he finds is one of the strangest stories you've never heard.
Did he indicate what was in the suitcase?
He said it was a bomb.
Listen to Missing in Alaska on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we have a real estate sponsor named Patrick Tuttle, and he can sell you real estate or he can rent you a property. So remember that, 588-1850. Now, there's a twist going on here. Patrick is my real estate agent as well, and we've decided to put a house on the market on Los Bancos on the west side.
It's a nice house, too.
Thank you. It's gotten better because we had a whole lot of things fixed, brand new appliances.
New flooring throughout.
New flooring, new appliances in the kitchen, totally painted, carpet everywhere. Outside looks good. Call me because I make points against Patrick Tuttle. So call Andrew here, actually, on 544-KTSM. Leave your name, and I'll get back to you. I'll make you a deal you can't refuse.
There you go. It is a neat house.
Thank you.
I always loved the kitchen off of
the family room
off the dining room with the fireplace and the book. Oh, it's always been a nice
house. It's got so much better. They've been working on it for about a month and a half. But anyway, 544-KTSM, if you want a good deal on a house on the west side, 5 bedrooms. Anyway, enough of that. What's your turn?
Okay, and Mission Del Rey merchandise is available online through missionray.com, and you can look at their extended online catalog, and they have designer tips on there, and you can have your gifts and decor shipped anywhere in the country, in the world, and don't forget to use your magic word history to save $20 on your online order. So, that's missiondelray.com.
And you click it in there when you
order. It says for promo code.
I was actually out there on Thursday, and it's a very interesting place. It's got twice as big.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much room now to walk around and look at stuff. And you go in basically on the Pelicano door side. Go on the street side of Pelicano. It's technically on Lee Trevino.
Mm-hmm.
So, but go to the intersection, Lee Trevino, Pelicano, take a left on Pelicano, and then hook in there, and you'll see they have big new signs going up. Fabulous place. Big opening. They're open now. Call them up. We'll give you the phone number here in a bit.
A lot of weddings are going to be happening pretty soon, so they're going to start gathering up on your wedding gifts.
Great stuff to do there. Okay, and Bernie Sargent's in the house, and we have a call for Bernie. Are you ready for Bernie?
Yes, sir.
I think this gentleman is named Alan. Alan, good morning. How's the world?
Not bad, sir. What I'm calling about is... First, the shotgun that Pat Garrett supposedly carried, what you described would be called the Burgess Folding Messenger Shotgun.
Yes, sir.
It's Messenger?
The first pump gun that was in the West, and the Winchester 93-97 came later.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is I wanted to ask a question about Leon Metz. I don't know what the story is behind him. If he's still alive or what's the deal?
Yeah, I talked with Cheryl, his wife, about 2 weeks ago. And he's still with us, you know. Obviously, with the debilitation from Alzheimer's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the problem he has. Yeah, he's at the vet's home out there on was it Gein Vet's Home?
Yeah, the
yeah, he's been out there for quite some time. And
by the
old Cohen Stadium.
Old Cohen Stadium.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes, I know where it's at. I don't live very far from it.
Yeah. So you know, and she goes by and looks in the window, and because they're not allowed to go in right now because of the COVID thing, but she said that you know, all things considered, he's doing about as good as he can do.
That's good. Yeah. Good to hear. And convey your messages from me to the family and my condolences.
I shall do that.
Okay,
thank
sir?
You. Thank
Alan,
you,
Alan. Hold on there a second. You want to be in a contest to win $20 for Pepe's?
No, sir. No, I won't get a chance to go over there due to my work schedule.
Fair enough. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks a lot. Have a shot at it.
Thanks for calling. You take
care. Thank you. Have a good day,
sir.
Bye bye.
I'm going to Pepe's. You might make it. You might not make it. I'm looking at both of you.
I won't make it. I have something I have to do. But if you want to go, dear, you can have a hall pass.
I can have a hall pass.
Well, you can have a hall pass.
If we get a caller says, "Hey, I'll buy you lunch," you know, we had somebody on Facebook say they'd buy us lunch.
There you go.
If he, I have to go find that guy's name, but. Mark Flores is right there.
Mark
I was looking at it.
Oh, Mark Flores. Yes, yes, yes. He was asking about that. And I said, I wasn't going, but I knew you were going.
I said, I plan to be there. And you don't have to buy us lunch, but if you don't just come say, hey, I'll be out there. And maybe Bernie, the way we're trying to twist his arm here.
And he's got a number one status for being one of our top fans.
Mark Flores?
Yeah, did you see on it? I had not seen this before.
How do you get that status?
I'm not quite sure.
You buy us lunch.
Yeah.
That'll do wonders for us.
I go for dinner more. But no, I don't know. All of a sudden it just showed up. I guess because of so many comments and so many watches on the shit.
I see.
Facebook does stuff. Every time I turn around, they're doing something new. I give up.
They give you a ribbon.
Yeah.
For showing up at our page. Okay.
Participation trophy.
Yes, exactly. Oh, life goes on. All right, Bernie Sargent's in the house. We've been talking people. Pick your next guy and go for it. Was it Ross you said?
Yeah, I was mentioning Ross, and you know, Alan brought up the fact that that was called a Burgess shotgun. So it was a very, very interesting piece of artillery, so to speak. When they found it, it was birdshot in it. So obviously Pat Garrett didn't think he was under any threat to put anything other than birdshot in there because he used to hunt off his ranch. You know, the varmints out there.
So if it was a protection event, he would have a slug in it?
He would have had, well, it would have been 12 gauge, but it would have been, you know, a heavier load,
okay,
so to speak. And the interesting thing, the reason Ross ended up with it, and I'll get to that story in a minute. Ross was born in Missouri in 1852, and because of tuberculosis, he moved to Weatherford, Texas, where he became a newspaper writer. He loved to write. He liked to write theatrical plays, things like that. And the newspaper business was okay for him, but it kept him inside. So he ultimately moved his family to El Paso, Texas. And again, he couldn't stay inside because of his tuberculosis, so he decided he wanted to get a job outside, so he became a U.S. Marshal. And he was U.S. Marshal from 1889 to 1891. And he became a policeman in 1893, and by 1895 he became a captain in the El Paso Police Force. He was quite an individual. He had a good reputation. Now, back in the day, you could, as a law enforcement officer, if you were an El Paso marshal, you couldn't serve duty outside. So what Ross did, what Bob Ross did, is he became a Texas Ranger.
Oh.
So he could actually pursue varmints outside of the borders.
Well, it's jurisdiction everywhere.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so he was a Texas Ranger also. And he did that until he suffered from an appendicitis attack in 1899, and he passed away because of that. Now, he had that shotgun, the Burgess shotgun, and his wife was good friends with a gal named Patterson, Mrs. Patterson, who was good friends with Pat Garrett's wife. And that's how they think that Garrett ended up with that shotgun.
They traded at the quilting club.
quilting club. I'll give you a shotgun for that quilt.
I'll raise you one six-shooter. Yeah, so that's how Garrett ended up with Bob Ross's shotgun.
So from what Alan was saying, that's a pretty unusual machine.
It was a very unusual because it folded up and fit in a little holster. It was kind of
so you couldn't
it folded
tell a,
up?
Yeah.
You couldn't tell a guy was carrying it until he shot you.
Well, if you had no knowledge of a Burgess shotgun, you would not know what he was carrying on his side.
Oh.
You might think it was a six-shooter, you know, kind of a rectangular holster, but no, it was a shotgun.
And it was multiple shot. That's the thing.
Yeah, multiple shot.
How, like five or what?
Yeah, I really don't know the count. Maybe Alan knows that.
It wasn't a cylinder so much as it was a feed.
It was a feed.
Like they do now.
Yeah, and when it fed, it also cocked it. So you didn't have
to
worry about doing that, too.
Okay.
And Bob Ross was an interesting individual in a lot of different ways, but that was just a little short story about that. I have to give Harry Kirk a lot of credit because when I asked him last week about do you have any information on different law enforcement officials in El Paso circa 1880 to 1910, he sent me about five or six of them, and this was one I had never heard of. And I thought, well, that's worth sharing. So thank you, Harry, for this and all the other information that you shared with me.
Andrew just brought in an advertisement for that gun. It comes out, and look at show Bernie. That thing does come out and turn into something.
There's a whole series of pictures that shows it all folded up. It's pretty
cool.
Wow. There you go.
It had a folding parasol and a folding shotgun. There you go.
Yeah, well, which pocket you're using, make sure you know.
That's right.
Very original.
See, I need that. I need one of those because I have the folding parasol. See, I would be properly.
You just get confused, though,
when properly
it starts
dressed.
Raining.
That's
you're going to shoot somebody.
Well, you don't want to fire that before you unfold it. No.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
All right, move on to another guy if you're done with Mr. Ross. Who else you got here?
We got a lot of folks we can talk about. How about, let's see, Scarborough.
Scarborough.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a history moment on that. You did a few
his
weeks
daughter,
ago.
His daughter, last week,
2 weeks ago. She was the lawyer?
She was the first female lawyer in El Paso.
Okay, who was he? Who was Scarborough?
George Scarborough? George Scarborough was a deputy U.S. Marshal. He was a law enforcement through and through. The guy was interesting in that most people know him because he was responsible for John Selman meeting his demise. In reading and researching the information on Scarborough and looking for relatives of his and the importance that they might have played in the Southwest, I learned a lot more about the incident with John Selman. You know, we do the reenactment of Selman's departure from
in
the
alley by the wigwam.
Right next to the wigwam.
Ah, yes.
And there was a lot of conjecture as to how that took place. We had heard, and there was a gentleman who is a pretty well-known Old West author, had written that they had their arms over their shoulders and they were talking as they were going down the stairs. But yet the news accounts in the paper didn't say anything about that at all. What they had said is they had gone down, and Selman was being he was drunk. And after he had killed John Wesley Hardin, he became quite a alcoholic.
This was Easter morning, was it not?
Yeah, it was Easter morning, 1896, a year after Hardin's demise. But he was trying to get George to go with him over to Mexico to get young John Selman out of jail over there. John had gone over there. Young John had gone over there. He was a policeman. And he had a 15-year-old girlfriend, Mexican girlfriend, that he wanted to marry. And they had agreed that they were going to elope because her dad had already threatened John Jr. With a gun. So they said, we're going to have to elope. So they had it all planned. They were going to do that. Well, when he got over there, he got arrested and locked up. They treated him quite well in jail. He had visitors there all the time. He was cavorting with all of his friends. You know, the Mexican guards were good friends with him. He had one real good friend, Mexican guard, at the jail that took pretty good care of him. Well, he had a gentleman friend over in El Paso that had arranged to help him break out of jail.
Oh.
And this is a few months after his dad was killed. And this gentleman had come over. He's kind of a portly individual. He had thrown a rope over the wall. And before he got on the Mexican side of the border, he had alerted John Selman Jr.'s girlfriend, fiance, as they put it, that she was to meet them at the river. So this gentleman goes across the river. He's got a couple of friends who are supposed to meet up with him. He throws a rope over. He helps John Jr. get over the wall. And he gets over the wall, and they proceed to start taking off towards the river, and they see somebody running towards them. Well, they thought it was one of their cohorts that was there to help them, alert them of whether there were police coming or whether you know they were in problem or just help them in any way they could. Turned out it was a policeman running right after him.
Oh.
And he and the policeman, John Jr. and the policeman, got into a wrestling match. And as the story goes, John broke loose from him and continued running towards the Rio Grande River with a policeman's finger in his mouth.
Oh, dear.
He'd actually bit his finger off to get away.
You guys.
I know.
That's almost too much to know.
That's what I've been going all week with these little things he's throwing out while I'm working. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, so you already heard this one.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Pretty handy. Anyway, he
rim shot.
He takes off running, and the police are shooting at him from the jail, and they managed to put a hole in his vest, and they winged him once. But he and his buddy got to the river right around Old Fort Bliss, and they crossed over into El Paso. And he became a free man, never to go back to Mexico again.
I would think not.
No.
done with that.
Done with that.
Forget the girlfriend.
Yeah, she's gone. So they, you know, there was big partying in El Paso the next night. He turned out to be a really nice guy, quite unlike his father.
What kind of movie could you make out of that? I mean, think about it. I mean, it could be an incredible movie.
The whole series of events. Well, then he proceeds to become sort of a quasi-law enforcement officer over in New Mexico. And he does some work over there, except for he gets himself in a little bit of trouble, and he goes over to Arizona, and he writes bad checks. And he gets himself locked up in Arizona. He ends up back in New Mexico, and he gets appointed to be law enforcement once again. Remember, these are territories. They're not states, so there's a lot of communication doesn't happen.
Yeah, they don't know you did
that
over there.
They don't know, yeah.
I'm a sterling person now.
He did get rid of the finger, but anyway.
He threw him the finger.
Oh.
Don't go there.
Flying finger.
He ultimately ended up in East Texas where he had a heart condition. And at the age of 63, he died because of a bad heart.
Let's talk about the sister because she also was a biggie. And so we're going to take a break first.
On a much better way.
Well, yeah, yes. She did lawyer stuff and didn't get caught with fingers and all that.
Yeah.
Apparently. No, God, that's terrible. Call us up if you like to. What's that number?
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
That's your cue. Bebe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest. How did the 4th of July become a national holiday?
Your favorite Red Table Talk episodes to podcast. I want to introduce you to two of the most important women in my life. My mom, Gammy. She's really old school.
I never wanted you to be in that situation.
Like, no. Not date Will at all. And then we have my daughter, Willow.
I'm going to be like my ancestors and just do what I need to do.
Listen to the Red Table Talk podcast presented by Facebook Watch and Westbrook Audio on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom! If every day feels like the last, put some flavor in it. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken. Crackling campfire flavor that's bold to the bone. Plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bringing the down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
The iHeartRadio app now has over 300,000 of the best podcasts from around the globe, making us number one for podcasts, but making it super easy for you to find what you're looking for.
I don't have to think about it. It's just tap here, tap there.
I love that podcasts are free.
Anything that's free is fantastic, especially when it's got good quality and is great.
Everyone should get this app, truly.
You're missing out.
iHeartRadio.
If you're not one of the tens of millions who have the app, download iHeartRadio for free today and start listening.
iHeartRadio.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I want to call your attention to the EPAS newsletter. They're not the museum is not open, but so what? These guys have a really cool newsletter worth the price of admission to be a member of EPAS, which is an adjunct event to the Archaeology Museum. These guys were there in the beginning. They actually have their own clubhouse with an exterior door right next to the door going in the museum. And the El Paso Archaeological Society has been around a while. They helped create some of the exhibits in there. So you got to talk about stuff that they do. They've got a research project in southeastern New Mexico about rock art, and they have a whole rundown in their newsletter. That's worth looking into. Their membership form is on here, P.O. Box 4345, if you want to get a hold of them, 79914. Individuals, $25. Join them up and see what you think here. They've got some aerial stuff of a merchant site that they're talking about. These are old things around here to go look at, and they look at them. And let me give you another somebody to call here. Okay, here's somebody to call. You go to the president is Peter Condon. See what this is probably a cell phone. 491-2363. Surprise him on a Saturday morning. Hey, Peter.
Fourth of July.
They put your number on the radio, Peter. 491-2363. Just ring him up for a good time of archaeology.
Yes, and wish him happy 4th.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. What do you got?
Well, I've got the Sunset Film Society and the International Museum of Art over there on Montana and Brown Street. They're unfortunately closed right now, but they will return in full force as soon as they can. And Jay Duncan, who is the greatest film historian in town, is always shows the films. He's looking for another location to show films until October. So if you have an idea where he might be able to do that, you can contact Jay Duncan via email by going to jaysjaypix@yahoo.com and see if you've got a place for him to go.
Yahoo. Speaking of Yahoos.
Yahoo.
Speaking of Yahoos, look who's here.
That's right.
It's
the biggest
Bernie,
of Yahoos.
Bernie Yahoo Sargent. And so, Bernie, you've turned in to be a real researcher. You look at stuff all the time on the internet.
I do.
When you should be working.
That's right.
My wife always tells me that.
Now, he's been real good with honeydews lately.
So honeydews. Anyway, but you've been looking at stuff?
Absolutely.
For all these lawmen.
Yeah, okay. It's a great story. I mean, there's so many little side notes and sidebars for these lawmen.
Okay, you got John Selman, who wasn't a lawman, but he tried to be a lawyer when he came to El Paso. I mean,
Bob Ross.
No, the main guy is buried at Concordia. Harden.
Oh, Harden.
Which I want to say Harden.
Harden showed up to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
He'd been a gunslinger. Everybody, his reputation was, I'm going to kill him. So John Selman killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who killed Selman was Scarborough. Mm-hmm. We just talked about him and his son.
It was Selman's son.
Selman's son, okay. But then Scarborough had a...
Now, Scarborough had a son, too, that was quite colorful.
What did he do?
Well, we have one of our ardent listeners, Roy Sinclair, was talking about his grandfather, who was killed over in New Mexico Territory. As it turns out, Edward Scarborough had found the varmint that killed Roy's
relative,
grandfather. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And brought him in. Now, Edward went awry. He went bad also. For some reason, law enforcement either went good or went bad. There was no in-between.
Well, they went somewhere.
Yeah, they had to go somewhere. But he ended up getting in a lot of trouble there in New Mexico territory. And, yeah, he was not a good guy at the end. And then he also had a daughter, Ethel, that Melissa talked about a couple weeks ago.
Well, she was an actual lawyer, the first lawyer?
The first female lawyer, possibly west of Dallas.
Wow.
And which was amazing. I mean, she had she was a firecracker when you look at her background, too. I mean, she got married and then went off to law school. She and her husband went back east together with kids to go to school and become a lawyer.
Wow. Cumberland University in Tennessee.
Cumberland, yeah. And he just didn't do that in those days.
She stayed a proper law path.
She stayed on the good side. She didn't go to the dark side.
And what do we say? She was also the first prosecutor?
Yeah.
Yes, prosecutor for the county, El Paso
first
County.
Female.
First
cool.
female.
We have a caller. We got about 1 minute. Raul, you got 1 minute to talk. What's up?
About the Juan Oñate statue. That's a big part of our history. I'm sorry to hear that it's been defaced or damaged some.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to plan to do with it, but my proposal had been some time ago is to put a plaque up there with his history, you know, what would have normally gone on there. And then another plaque or two for the Indians, the Acoma Indians, and whoever else he brutalized, and put their story. But have the whole story, have the statue there, let everybody know who he was, and don't damage it. It's part of our history. I know it's a problematic history, but those of us who are of Mexican descent, we are the products of that race.
Yeah.
We are the products of that colonization.
I agree with you.
Yeah. You know, but we mixed, which is very different from the Confederate statues. They didn't mix. The white and black
at
all.
They just got on the other side of the tracks from each other. No, I think you're right. I think the history needs to stay. Better explanation, maybe, if anybody's upset. But don't be tearing them down. I agree. We got to run here. The hour is over. But, Raul, thank you very much for calling in. You take a reason.
Bye-bye, Raul.
Thanks a lot. Well, and the music, Randy, should be rolling now. I think
well,
it is.
We can
it's
hum.
Not rolling now.
We can hum.
La, 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 la.
No,
Bernie Sargent's here. We're going to talk more after the break. And you have a history moment coming up.
That's right.
That's going to be very cool. And the whole idea of El Paso history to me is that we need to talk about it more. It needs to be understood more. The Oñate. Oh, you got 2 minutes?
Oh,
that's
yes.
not what my clock says.
Could I throw something in here?
Yeah, you get two minutes. Raul, I'm sorry I cut you off. I thought I had 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you know, Raul. The tragedy about history and trying to rewrite it is the people that are doing this damage don't know the history. They don't understand
it. Oh, right.
And even if you put a plaque there, would they read it? Would they understand it?
Well, the idea
would
is
they want to understand
well,
it.
Well, the idea is you get lost until you do, because otherwise, you know, tearing stuff down is just stupid.
It really is.
And if you really don't want, if the community decides to get rid of it, then put it in a museum.
Yeah.
Don't just tear it down. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Be real interesting also that the Hispanics that fought both in the Civil War, again, the South, and also Hispanics fought in the Northern Civil War for the North. So that's an interesting story nobody knows about on that side either.
Well, there's the music. Now, one minute, not 2 minutes. Okay.
Now Andrew, we can wind down. Huh?
Well, now none of the clocks here match, so what the heck. We'll get off the air. The network happens when it happens.
5 o'clock
Bernie's
somewhere.
Bernie's drinking over here early. It's a clear liquid, but I don't think it's water. Enough of that. Be back after the news here, and we got more to do. We got a whole lot more to do. This is long
lots
all over the page
do.
Here. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for archived copies of this radio show. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hey fam, Jada Pinkett Smith here, bringing your favorite Red Table Talk episodes to podcast. I want to introduce you to two of the most important women in my life. My mom, Gammy. She's really old school.
I never wanted you to be in that situation.
Like, no, not date Will at all.
And then we have my daughter, Willow.
I'm going to be like my ancestors and just do what I need to do.
Listen to the Red Table Talk podcast presented by Facebook Watch and Westbrook Audio on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A grand in your hand.
That would help out a ton.
Winner.
Amazing.
After winner.
This will be very helpful.
After winner.
Definitely keep me going until I hopefully go back to work soon.
You could be next.
This helps a lot.
Your chance to win $1,000 is coming up. Brought to you by Comfort Keepers. In life, you learn an important message. Your age doesn't define you. You do. Comfort Keepers. Elevating the human spirit. ComfortKeepers.com.
NBC News Radio, I'm Cameron Fairchild. Prince Andrew remains silent about his association with Jeffrey Epstein despite lawyers' pleas to provide a statement.
He has been accused of deliberately avoiding U.S. authorities, and attorney Gloria Allred said his silence is, quote, traumatizing for the women Epstein sexually exploited as young girls. Their calls come after his friend and Epstein's alleged co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell, was taken into custody. She's facing conspiracy to entice minors and enticement of a minor, among other charges. John Klein, NBC News Radio.
President Trump wants to bring statues of prominent Americans together.
The White House announced an executive order that would create the National Garden of American Heroes. A task force would be assigned to come up with a list of options for the site, including where it might be located. The order details some of the statues that would be located at the garden. They include John Adams, Susan B. Anthony, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, and others. Jim Forbes, NBC.